I'm sorry. I'm being silent. I'm not talking. And so, of course, you don't even know that I'm here. Because I'm tweeting again. And oh my goodness. Okay. Hello. I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Stories for Adults, and I am not a professional. I just did a whole 5-minute introduction going into all the things and totally messed everything up. But I think that you should be able to hear me now. I think my sound is probably way too high now, actually. Invite. Can you hear me now?
Hello, I can hear you.
Oh, yay. And I can hear you.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Success.
I'm so sorry. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but it worked second time. So, yay.
Honestly, it's not a problem.
No, good. You're so understanding.
Well, I was sometimes.
I was doing this whole intro. I read about what Bloggable was, and then I did a little shout out for Tantalizing Tales and your website, and then I talked about our first conversation. And now I don't want to do it all again.
Oh.
No, I should. I should. I do. I want to shout out to Bloggable, because Bloggable is a website that helps, brings other bloggers together to answer the basic questions of starting your own website. And they also have help with writing questions. And that was partly the marathon that you just did. And one of the things that I mentioned was getting feedback. Did you get a lot of feedback from the marathon?
I did. So actually, I found it really useful, because as you go along in each round, you get feedback effectively. Some of which is feedback that you look at and go, oh, for goodness sake, you know, when you know you do something and you know you shouldn't, and you do it anyway, and then people pull you up on it and you think, yeah, I shouldn't be doing that actually.
Yes. All the time. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But actually all the feedback is really useful, and people also comment on things and you suddenly think, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Or so I guess partly feedback that you get on your own pieces, but also reading other people's pieces. And often I'd read things and be like, wow, that, like, some people wrote amazing things, really, really good things. So it's quite inspiring reading pieces that other people have written as well. So it was great in both respects.
Yes. I mean, that anybody could get a whole story in some of those word counts.
I know. Some of them are tough.
Yes. Flash fiction is hard for me anyways. I have a really hard time with getting I need to build these elaborate worlds. And that you guys were able to, you know, the finalists that you got there and you did that, that just blew me away. I read your final story. And so you had this time travel thing, right? And are you going to read that one?
I wasn't going to read that one, actually. I was going to read the one before that I did.
But,
oh, my goodness. When I saw that it was time travel, I was like, what a horrible, horrible topic.
I thought you handled it really well and that you got those three different things in there. I'm like, how did she do that?
Well, it was a bit of, I don't actually want to have to travel in time. So let's pretend we're traveling in time, and then I can kind of get my head around it better.
It worked. And then it was an Aesop's fable ending, all that smexy. And then you come around with, oh, you know, your ending, you're going to have to go read it, people. I'm not going to give the ending away, because I thought the ending was really sweet and poignant and very pointed after all the different scenarios, and something we all, you know, really good for everyday living, which is what I mean by Aesop's fable kind of ending.
Almost, that was the bit I struggled with most, was the ending, because I kind of had the idea in my head and I wrote it and I got the ending. And then I was like, is this just really cliched? And I spent quite a long time in my head going, am I just telling people things they so know already, and it's just a complete cliche? And I really wanted to rewrite the ending, and I ummed and ahed lots of times, and then I went, I can't think of anything better, actually. I'm going to have to stick with my cliche.
And it did well. You know, that's the things that My publisher told me my she was like, you know, I think your first book, I don't know what I struggled with my last two books. And so she was like, what happened? And I'm like, you know what happened? We edited that sucker four times. That's what happened. And we didn't the last ones because we got in a hurry. And I also, you were giving me a little leeway to write the way I wanted to write. And I started
Oh.
writing a little bit more heavy, lyrically and poetically, and a little bit outside of readers, out of what where they wanted, where I wanted to take them was not where they wanted to go. And my publisher, she was like, oh yeah, you're right, we did do that, didn't we? You know, and I went to this conference, and we were talking about grade levels for romance writing. What should your on a scale? There's a whole scale of, you know, what your grade level writing should be, and the average was seven. I mean, it's like junior high grade level writing, really. But the people were like, what if it's lower? What? Oh, she's like, don't worry. If it's lower, it's better because it's easier to read and people love that. And I'm like, oh
Oh.
You got, and I, that was part of my intro, was getting that feedback, how important that is for a writer, because you get to see the different points of view, and then the thing that is there that you miss all the time, that, like, you know, you need to, I needed
The
to write
feedback from
commercial
it.
and edit my story more.
Yeah. But yeah, so the feedback from it was really, really useful. But also I started it like I kind of agreed to doing it and signed up for it. And then suddenly I was like, all the other people in this are like proper writers. They're like people who can actually, and I was a bit like, gosh, I feel a bit like I'm definitely not a proper writer. And I was a bit like, oh my goodness, have I just entered something and I am completely out of my depth here? So yeah, the first couple of rounds I was suddenly like, are they just going to be like, what are you doing here? What are you doing in amongst these proper writers? Go away, get out. So, but actually it wasn't. It was really welcoming and inclusive, and so it was good, very good.
You don't think you're a proper writer? I'm like,
No.
what? Really?
Really?
Stop
Like,
that.
I was like, well, I managed to write these kind of smutty stories that people like, and that's probably because they're nice and smutty, as opposed to they're actually well written or anything like that. So yeah, no, I completely don't class myself as a proper writer. I mean, all these other impressive people who've published things and done things like that, I'm like, yeah, they're proper writers.
Oh, they're proper writers.
They're
No,
proper writers, yeah.
your stories have all the elements of what you need for a complete written story. They have a beginning, they have a middle, they have an end, they have characters, they have emotions, they have even sometimes there's character development, because a lot of times your character starts out, do I like this? I don't know if she's gonna like this. Am I gonna like this? Maybe I'm gonna like this. Oh, this is really hot. I really like this. And then, oh, I'm so glad I did that. That's still a story.
Yes, true.
It's still character development. It may be character development in 3,000 words, which makes it even better, you know, because you're getting it all in there. You are too a proper writer. Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you, but the other thing that was really good though as well was the it kind of puts you outside your comfort zone in terms
Yes.
of like I've written all in one type of genre, and suddenly I was like, oh, well, partly I guess there were topic obviously there were topics that were given to us for each round, and some of them I looked at and thought, oh yeah, I like that, that kind of that fits with the sort of things I like writing about. And there were others, I mean, like the last two, the penultimate one was you had to write about something that included a barrister and a talisman. And I was just like, what? And then when I got the final one, which was time travel, I was like, you are having a laugh. This really, do I really have to write about this? Yeah, because it was just so far away from the normal sort of things I'd write about.
I was going to ask you, what were the hardest things to write about, the most challenging? And it was it those two?
So those two were probably the two descriptions or tasks that were given to us that I most looked at and just thought, I just hate this topic. What are you people doing to me? And yeah, when I looked at the you sent that includes a barista and a talisman, and I
what
just
is
like
that? I mean, talisman. What is it?
Yeah, I was like, what really? And I just thought I spent quite a long time just looking at it thinking, yeah, I've got nothing interesting to say on this topic. Maybe this is the point where I just go, yeah, I'm out now. And it was almost playing around with ideas in my head to get myself to a point that I could actually kind of fit it to something that I felt I could, that I was comfortable enough with as a topic to write about.
Yeah.
So that was challenge. So those ones were challenging in some ways because I just looked at them and just hated what the topic was. I thought the first ones were hard as well. Like, I think the first one you had something like 30 to 50 words. And that was hard because it was like, how do I write anything impressive in such a short space of time? Anything that's going to stand out?
Yeah.
But then also some of them were challenging in terms of taking myself out of my comfort zone in terms of the normal genre that I write about. So that was challenging as well.
The contest was open. It was fiction. It was open to any kind of fiction. So
absolutely.
That's what I looked at the word counts and I'm like, no. And then the time, no.
Yeah, and that's the other thing,
give me so much anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, the time I didn't find too bad. I found it was all right. Although suddenly you find you have one that falls and you've got, I don't know, 3 weeks from when they give you the description and you think, oh my goodness, this falls just when I'm going on holiday or something. And actually you were like, I actually need to write this and turn this around within like a week or something because otherwise I'm not going to have a chance. So I think like my third entry, when I got the feedback on it and looked at it afterwards, I was a bit like, yeah, that wasn't my best effort. And that's probably a reflection of the fact that I didn't have as much time for that one. And yeah, it just wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the time frame too. I take a long time to edit. I'm impressed with everybody's work that everybody took on the challenge. You know, I would say that completing a book is a big deal. Even if you don't have great sales, that you completed the book, that you did it, that you got it up, that you did all the formatting, that you put it up on the store, that's still quite an accomplishment. And that's something nobody can ever take you away. That's like Mount Everest. There are a lot of people who say, I'm going to do it and never do. So, you know, that you did the challenge, that you, and you completed it and you didn't give up and you kept doing every round and
I came second, so it was good. I enjoyed. Yeah,
I know. I'm so. So, what did you learn the most from it? Do you think out of all those?
Oh, that's a good question. What did I learn the most? That people really like you to use full stops at the end of sentences. That was one thing I learned. And I learned that I still don't think I know what an adverb is and that at some point I really need to look it up and work out what it is. So the full stops thing. At the end, I like consistent punctuation and I generally don't use full stops at the end of paragraphs. And in like a business context, people are like, that's really like new economy and let's write like that. And then someone wrote after one of my pieces, your punctuation is driving me bonkers. I was like, oh, okay, I need to put the full stops in at the end of the paragraphs to keep everyone happy. So that's probably a crap overall learning, but that was definitely one thing, is that people who like full stops really like them. I guess, but also that actually writing about other things rather than the kind of normal erotica genre is challenging, but also that I produced some pieces that were a bit different and were well appreciated. So I guess I like that side to it as well.
That's really cool. So what have you been doing since I last talked to you? It's been about a year. So I looked at your profile. I thought, holy moly, look at all the followers she got. What have you been up to?
I guess just broadly carrying on doing more of the same, just writing pieces and sharing it with people. And people seem to be enjoying it. I did a little piece more. probably a few months ago now, called Exploring Katie's Kinks, which was a series of, we basically took a kink each week and I wrote a little fiction piece about it. And then myself and a couple of others each week would comment on why they liked that kink, what they found interesting about it, and kind of give their perspective on it. Oh, so like we had a week on pain, we had a week on bondage, we had a week on various different topics in that sort of genre. We had one on threesomes, and it was quite interesting because I put my perspective across on why I like these things and why I find them interesting, but actually lots of other people gave their perspectives as well. So that was really quite popular. And yeah, it was just something a bit different involving other people as well in the writing pieces that I was doing. And I think lots of people lent different perspectives to mine to it. Yes. And it was fun as well, just working with some other people on that.
Oh, that's neat. That's
yeah, really that was, neat. Yeah. So I probably did, I think there was about 10 of them in total. And some really great, yeah, perspectives from other people on it. So that I enjoyed, that was good.
That is good. You know, I'm always, just the whole kink thing just fascinates me from just everything. It just is an incredibly fascinating subject to me. I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. Because I think a lot of kinks start when you're young. And I think a lot of us have, I think all of us have them.
Yes.
You really, if you really define what a kink is, I think all of us have them. And they all start for some innocent little thing. Sometimes, usually innocent, sometimes not. Sometimes it's something, you know, not. But they start young and then they don't leave. They don't, they're not something you can, that you can, you can try and suppress them your whole entire life. You can try and, you know, they're just, but they don't leave without like intensive mind bending therapy that, you know, is why do we have to do that? If they happen in it, you know, so why can't we, if that's the only thing that's going to make these things leave is really learn, becoming another person, almost changing your brain so much that you change the brain patterns, because that's what you have to do to change that kind of thing. You have to change a brain pattern and build a new one. And that's not, it can be done. People, you know, in the military do it. So,
but I think actually more the perspective that this was giving was not that people want to change them, but that actually, that they're a good thing and a positive thing. That's, and actually, some of my favorite feedback that I get from people is when they're a bit like, wow, that was a bit taboo and it wasn't something I've ever wanted to talk about or mention or have people talk about kind of openly. And they kind of say, okay, you've written about it in actually what's quite a positive and accepting and not saying, oh, this is a dreadful thing, but actually saying, yeah, I like this and why not, type of thing. And actually they're suddenly like, oh, that feels, I don't feel ashamed or embarrassed or any of those types of things.
The marvelous, we have such a hard time accepting ourselves that you can go out and find a community where they accept you. Sometimes it takes other people to say, wait, no, stop. You're good. You're okay. We're all a little kinky. We're all a little weird. We really are. We're different. And you know what? That different makes us really awesome. So
yeah, that is not a bad thing. It's just different.
I'm gonna have to go and look that up. I've been in a writing kind of I've not been online as much, so I've missed so much, but that sounds like a really marvelous series. So what's next? So you've done the marathon, you're doing this,
Yes. You're
continuing to grow your audience. Where do you want to go? I mean, do you have like take over the world goals.
take over the world. I think that's it. The other thing I've been doing is quite a lot of commission stories for people, which I've enjoyed doing as well. Some of which are very much kind of people who have read things I've written and they want something really quite similar. They like the genre, but they want something that's really, or they like the style and they want something that's really personalized, but follows a lot of the sort of themes that I talk about and I'm into. But then equally, I've had some people who've asked me to write commission pieces, which are like about submissive guys and dominatrix women, and which isn't kind of what I normally I don't normally take that perspective in my writing. And it's suddenly been like, oh, this is a bit different. And actually really, I've really enjoyed it. Trying to get my head into a slightly different space effectively.
Yes. Yeah. I interviewed Adame. I don't know how to say it. And
Dominatrix.
Dominatrix. And there's one whose podcast I listen to who has a really, I like her podcast because she claims she wants to be the world's first kink therapist. And her mission statement of how she gets there and does that is kind of, it's kind of amazing. And then I interviewed.
Does it involve like whips and chains and things?
No. Well, no.
I will whip you into therapy.
Right? No. Okay. So it involves, you'd have to listen. Okay. I'd probably say it wrong, but what it involves the same thing as, the emotional kind of moment of, breaking down into subspace.
Okay.
Taking a man who is able to get there, whether he's submissive or switchy, and taking him there and getting him in that place and then asking him questions like, what is wrong? Why are you upset? And helping him find his truths. Why he's so angry about something, what he's looking for, what, you know, when you get in that really intimate headspace. Taking him down to that moment. And that's the kind of therapy she does, because they get to that very vulnerable place. I'm sure you understand, as a submissive woman, you get to that very vulnerable place. And she says she'll just do it with an audible, you know, a lot of them she never even meets in person. It's just auditory, but she'll do it with a blow job. It's hard for me to say. I'm not a fan of the word, but she'll just do it with a really good blow job. She'll get him down there. She'll make him want it enough. And then they get to that point where he is in a submissive headspace because he wants what she has.
Yeah.
And then they have a conversation that is
before she's literally got her mouth full.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they have a conversation that that deals with whatever, you know, the truest part of itself. And then you get all of the aftercare, you know, you get the finish and the aftercare with that. And when she was talking about and describing it, I'm like, I can see how that would work. I don't know. You should listen. It might help you get some headspace to write some of those pieces. And then I interviewed a great guy who was a submissive guy, and he was so fun. He's English and he gardens. I mean, can you imagine?
What's not to like?
I bet you're not really submissive in your garden. I bet you if somebody tried to come in and plant something, and you would be like, I don't know any gardeners who would be okay with that. So, you know, but otherwise.
Anyway.
I don't know. It was just funny. It was a funny. So you're thinking of, you're continuing to write for, that's neat, writing for commission. I love that
idea. I'm really enjoying that. It's fun. So I'm hoping to do a bit more of that.
Do you do that through your website, or do you have a Patreon? I mean, how are you bringing that to bear?
A lot of it is I put on my website, actually. A lot of people who have pieces written, then, although they may not want themselves to be named, are very happy for me to share the pieces on my website. And actually, they really like the fact that other people read them and comment on them and stuff like that. Or there's a few that I've done for people that they've wanted just privately for themselves. So a bit of a mixture. But yeah, I've really been enjoying doing that. So I want to carry on doing that. I'm writing a piece at the moment about the fiction marathon, which I'm hoping to post within the next couple of days.
Okay.
All about my kind of experiences and what I found good, what I found hard, what I found challenging, and includes all of the pieces that I've written all in one place.
I will watch for that so I can share it out.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And then I've been talking to May, who organizes, one of the organizers of the fiction marathon, about maybe doing some bits with her to do with Tantalizing Tales and Medium and bits and pieces. So we're just floating some ideas around at the moment.
I love that. You're just growing and busy and writing and doing the things. That's great.
I'm basically trying to fit it in around everything else that's going on in life. So
yeah, I mean, you do have other life, you know. Exactly. You have real life over here.
Exactly. So yeah, there's that, and then this to kind of fit in around it. So which is good.
That? I'm not very good at that. How do you? I mean, your time management. How long does it take you to write a average commission piece?
The first part is coming up with the, so people would generally give me a kind of brief as to roughly what they want, some of which are very specific and some of which really aren't very specific. And then almost I play around with ideas in my head. Often when I'm in bed, I'll think about ideas until I start to get a little story that I like and I find exciting. And then from there, I'll kind of make some notes, turn it into something. With all my ideas, and then I'll start actually writing the piece. So yeah, the actual writing obviously takes more normal time, but actually they're just playing around with ideas in my head. I can just do kind of in my free time.
So what do you think your turnaround is? I mean, if regular life is not too insane.
Yeah, it depends a little bit on what regular life is doing and my normal work is doing and family life and all those sorts of things. But I don't know, I normally say to people a couple of weeks or so, depending on how long the piece they want is and that type of thing. I've had one which was like 6 or 7 chapters long. So it was like 6 or 7 pieces turned into all into one story. So something like that took me quite a lot longer. Whereas most of them are about, usually the commissions are about 2,500 words. But I've done some recent ones that have been like 10,000 or so words, and those take me quite a while longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I really enjoy it, and it's interesting and different, and it makes me think about slightly different areas and things like that, and it's fun working with different people, talking to them about what they want, so I enjoy that side of it as well.
I could see you doing, I wonder, you know, I don't know, you should probably do a podcast. Kiki Katie, so it has a nice ring to it. I don't know,
maybe.
Plant a seed. Bloggable needs a podcast. You know, Tantalizing Tales. Just a little step up, a little audio, add a little audio into that. I could see that. I like podcasts are so easy to start now too. So
are they? I need to quiz you about this offline probably, but yes, it would be quite cool. I have done some pieces that actually I've recorded for people as well. So whereas some people have just wanted actual stories, some people have read stories so that I actually read them to them. So I've done quite a few of those actually as well.
Well, you're a wonderful reader, and I'm not done asking questions, but you are going to read, and I'm really excited about that. So
it's like story time.
So many comments on your, when you read, like, oh, are you going to have it? She's got to really, yes. My voice goes really high and dorky when people, I don't know why. I'm just a little bit dorky anyways, but I love adding the audio dimension. And then when you add in, when you make it an audio play, that's another level. But just the read aloud is sometimes when people come on and know we've read some poetry, but the poetry is too short. I need time. I realize about myself, I need time to adjust into it. I'm engaging all my senses. And if I don't have the words in front of me, it's harder for me to, you know, in a 10-line poem to really get to the, you're just getting to the good part and I'm just getting engaged and then it's over. And that's why I like a longer story, is because I have more time to really get engaged. I have time to settle in. And I think I probably write that way. I don't know. Maybe it's an ADHD thing, but I love the audio, and there's so many great voices out there. If you don't do it yourself, you could do it yourself, but there's so many great voices out there that humanize things too, that, you know, some of your stories and audio, Katie.
Yeah, I
imagine that would be pretty good.
Maybe I'll try that.
Podcasting's easy. It would be. In fact, I told Tom, who's in the audience, he should podcast too. I don't know why he's not.
We'll chase him about that afterwards. Quiz him.
Exactly. What's the deal, Tom? He's like, well, maybe when I get set up. So you are. How is? It's been a year since we've talked.
It is.
How has the pandemic been treating you? Okay. Have you gotten more writing done, less writing done? Has the stress? What is the, I don't even know what's happening all over the world. People are protesting and how has the world been treating you? Are you and yours safe?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we're lucky in terms of where we are that we've all been fit and well and healthy, and actually here now there aren't that many restrictions still in place. Travel has finally started opening up again, and normally I travel quite a lot, so that's been good to be able to start doing that again. It's been a bit of a tough, 18 months though.
I mean, you were just getting, and things were starting to, and then Delta, and how's this the supply chain now? And I know some of it's the news, some of it's hard.
Oh yeah, a lot of it is the news.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend. I'm like, you know, supply chain is an issue, but a lot of it, the issue is first world problems. None of us are going to starve to death because, you know, there's not going to be enough food, or there's not going to be, we're not going to be homeless or cold suddenly because we can't go out and buy a new, my mom has been trying to buy a washer, you know, I got to go to the laundromat for her, but you know. But I'm not going down to the stream either, so
honestly it's we don't have it that hard. I think it's been a tough year, and I've had quite a few personal bits going on, but we're doing all right.
So good. I'm glad. That's really good. Really good to hear.
So, good to be coming out the other side of it though, hopefully.
How did you, you've been talking to May and Posey Churchcake too, or just May, or?
Posey a little bit as well. Mostly I talk more May, but yes, both.
May is such a networker.
She is a great networker, and she is also very, she's incredibly encouraging. I think I am a little bit starstruck whenever she talks to me. She's wonderful. She's always really helpful. She's always so positive and so just willing to help and give you ideas on things to do. And why have you tried this? And you do brilliantly at this. So she's amazing. She's incredibly encouraging. And it was her who suggested to me getting involved in the Bloggable Fiction Marathon. She said, oh, have you heard about it? Would you like to get involved? And I was a bit like, oh, do you think I could, should? And she was like, yeah, give it a go. And throughout it, she was very encouraging and great. So, I think she's really positive. Great.
Did she ever need to do any pep talks for the writers? Were they, sometimes I need pep talks. you can do it. You just keep going. Don't give up.
I suspect she did lots of that. And she was always sending encouraging emails like, oh, this one's even better than your last piece and well done. And
that's great.
I think she's incredibly positive actually. So
wonderful.
I think she does a wonderful job. And the whole Bloggable Fiction Marathon, I thought it was all also really well, this process more about my personality than anybody else's, but I loved the fact that it was really well organized. And they told us exactly what was happening and when it was going to happen, and the emails all came out on time. So it actually made it, it just ran really smoothly.
That's kind of cool, because I know I talked to May. She's like, everybody's had issues. Everybody's had life. And they planned it out well enough to it's good that I wasn't involved. That's kind of amazing. That's really it looks like such a professional thing. And I asked, I mean, hard as it was, were they going to do it again? And I think so. And I'm really happy that they are going to do it again, because it's such an opportunity to get that feedback, to interact, to get your stuff out there. And they're helping people grow. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they do. I think it's Marie who is the main organizer, or they're joint main organizers. But yeah, I think they do a brilliant job with it. And actually, it's fun reading other people's pieces as well.
Yeah.
So there was one, and I can't remember who wrote it now, where she wrote a whole piece. This was on this damn talisman piece. And she just wrote a piece, and it was all going in one direction. And then suddenly it turned really sinister at the end. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I was just completely wowed by it. So there were pieces like that. And also, for anyone who hasn't read it, Marsha's piece that she wrote in the final, which was the piece that won, was just amazing. The whole voice that she created, like for the character, it was just very, very clever, very well written. So I would definitely recommend people should have a read of that one.
Is there any chance there might be like a cohesive anthology of some of the work, do you think? I don't know.
I think you can go back into the voting rounds, and then you can read everybody's entry for that round. But like the blog that I'm writing at the moment, I have nearly finished, but not quite, goes through what we were given for each one in terms of the task. It shows my piece, but also talks a bit about the challenges that I faced in writing it. And it shares a bit of the feedback, some of which I'm like, yay, I really like that feedback. That was really helpful. And others that I'm just like, oh, you're so right. But so it kind of follows the little roller coaster of it. And I'm hoping is kind of, it's, well, a way for people who like my writing to read all the pieces that I wrote, and to, I guess, see that there's some quite different styles of pieces that went into it. But also just to see the kind of, follow the kind of the roller coaster and the path that it followed. So, and it's done fairly lightheartedly, as most of my things are.
Great sense of humor. There's a little bit of everything you write. It's not tongue in cheek, but there is a little bit of I don't know. I need a word.
Not taking myself too seriously.
Yes, that.
Yes.
But there's got to be one word, you know, because you don't. You're not. You know, I'm. I was looking at quotes from that book, 50 Shades, and apparently she calls herself a goddess all the time. I'd never read it. I was just looking at, I was having a conversation that I think people make up some quotes. They can't really, some of them are just so bad. And then they attribute it to it just to, but anyways, in the quote list, it was like, oh, my inner goddess. And you have never done that.
I need to start using that one. I'll start dropping that into conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. My inner goddess says. Gosh.
My inner goddess says, no, I'm not bratting. This is my inner goddess.
Yeah. I'm going to try that. Definitely. I'll drop it into conversation tomorrow.
Let me know how it goes.
I will. Probably not well is the answer, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, it boosts confidence, right? If you think of yourself as a goddess, you have an inner goddess, not just your inner, you know, still wearing your pajamas from yesterday. And it's 3 o'clock the next day, and you have, you know, but you're an inner goddess. Then you're, you know.
I did think actually just before I came onto this, I was suddenly like, it is just audio, isn't it? Because I'm still sitting here, I'm still wearing my gym kit from when I worked out like a couple of hours ago. So I did suddenly think, oh my goodness. And then I was like, no, it's all right. They can't see me. I'm okay. I can stay in my gym kit.
which brings, if people had seen you, I know, okay. I was talking to Posey, one of Posey's stories.
Yes.
Actually, there is a convention with bloggers, lifestyle bloggers in England somewhere that they had a couple years ago before COVID. Would that be something you would go to? Would you go to something in person, and is that an?
That would probably be a no.
And sometimes people go like Posey went, and you have a different name. You're not actually there.
Oh.
There is a blogger, but you're still anonymous.
So, oh, maybe.
they do.
Maybe I can wear like a disguise or something as well.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
I get it. Since we have talked, my kids all know what I. Nobody's read it, and nobody's found my podcast.
Oh, but they know what you do.
But they all know I write. They all know what I write. They make fun of it. My kids are—they're older, so they make fun of it appropriately. The boys,
okay.
And my daughter's like, "Mom, I won't look at your writing if you don't look at mine." And I'm like, "Okay, deal." and so they all know, and they're like, you know, they just think it's funny. I don't know. I guess I'm helping to pay for things for them. Maybe that's part of it.
That makes it more appealing. One of my kids was talking the other day, and he was talking about someone on Twitter, and he was like, oh, and she's got like, I don't know, 5,000 followers or something. And I was like, almost about to say, well, I've got 13,000. And then, no, we're not going there. Bite back that comment.
Oh, my heart is, I got to tell you, I don't want to get you talking about your family, but I'm going to brag about mine. My
perfect. Go for it.
One of my sons is a computer programmer, and he's a senior in college and doing his graduate degree. But anyways, he makes these computery things, and he puts them on Twitter to share out and whatever. And
I like that description, computery things. Yep.
Yes, he makes the computery things, and I can't share them. It's agony. I have gone to other people. Could you please share this and pretend, you know, could you just. Because I can't. And he would know it was me. And so he'd probably not look. But still, it's still the audience. It's too dangerous. So it's
and possibly your followers are maybe not as interested in computery things.
Oh, no, they're pretty nerdy. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Maybe they would.
D&D thing. A lot of nerdy men who think they're dominants, who identify as dominants, are dungeon masters. And so, no, they're nerdy, and they all play World of Warcraft. So I get a mix, and I get some romance. I don't know. Twitter's weird for me. I got friends on Twitter. I don't have Twitter is, yeah. I do have some readers, but most of my readers are on Facebook, which is problematic because Facebook is the censorship is so But that's where they are, and so that's where I am. So do you think you want to write longer fiction pieces? Do you want to move into romance? Do you want to write more speculative? Are you going to keep doing what you're doing because you love this lane, which is, I don't have a problem, you know. What do you see going with that? Because you don't think you're a writer, you are. But
I don't really know. I feel like you having asked that question, I need to have a more like focused aim as to where I'm going with it. But the honest answer is I kind of fell into it during the kind of first lockdown here when I had a bit of time and I was like, I want to share some of these stories that are in my head and that are experiences and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, okay, well, if I want to share them, I need to blog them. So I need to build myself a website. So they're like, that was my first challenge was, how do I build myself a website? So I worked out how to do that and built that. And then I wrote some of my pieces and started uploading them. And then people started liking them and following me. And I've just carried on doing more and more from there, really. So it's kind of just grown as I've gone along. And it's kind of just a... something I enjoy doing in my spare time, basically. So I'm kind of always talking to people about what are ideas, what might I get involved in doing, what different things are going on. I feel like I need a goal now and I don't have one. Kind of just carrying on with the sorts of things that I'm doing, but equally being open to ideas of what other people suggest or that I see and want to get involved in.
That's a good way to be, just being open to what happened next.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to have the big, you know, 200,000 word novel.
I don't know. I have, in other parts of my life, I have big things going on and big things that I need to produce and do. And So actually, it's quite nice in some ways, just
keeping doing it as an
enjoyable, fun thing to be doing. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So, there is a little bit of a shift when you know you're writing for an audience who has expectations versus versus writing because it's something you really enjoy and just want to share with the world. It's a little bit of a mind mess up.
I can imagine.
It can be. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. So I would... what else do I want to ask you? I think we got everything. You wrote the on the Bhagavad. I can't wait to see what you put on Tenthalites and Tales. There's some really
good stuff on that.
Yeah. And it goes all over the place. And they're really careful about the quality of the writing. I have seen some of the erotica on Amazon. And, sometimes it's foreign language writing put into English and
oh really okay
yeah
it doesn't have quite the same meaning.
Yeah, there's no full stops.
Shocking.
No,
imagine.
The erotica market is so funny because these books will come out and they'll debut at number one in their category for the first couple of days and then disappear. It's and then you come to Twitter and see the work that they're doing on Tantalizing Tales and on the work, even your Katie, your stories, I'm telling you, so much better than some of these stories. I'm not talking scenarios. I'm talking writing. The act of, I'm not, you know, the scenarios are all over the gambit for whatever kink people have, but the writing of it, just, oh, so much better.
Well, kind of, if it's not that well written, it detracts from the whole experience of reading it and enjoying it. And
you can't get your head in there. If you can't get through the first paragraph, then
you're not gonna have fun reading that.
That's kind of the challenge in the 500 words, right? It's the first paragraph right there, and if you can't get them to the end, then
very true.
Okay, I would love to have you read. I'm so glad you came on today, that we got to do this and chat and catch up, and that everything is going well in life. That's really great to hear.
Well, thank you. I love coming on. I love chatting with you. It's lots of fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I like it. No, it's very enjoyable. I enjoy it a lot. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's always wonderful. So what are you going to read for us?
So this was round five. So this was the one where the task was a barista and a talisman.
Oh, I can't.
And I looked at it and thought, oh, really?
That's marvelous. I'm so glad you brought that.
So when I say the word talisman and you are like, where does she get these ideas from? You can blame the bloggable people, the bloggable babes, for making me use those words in my story. That's what they call themselves, the bloggable babes.
They do. I love it.
Shall I read away?
Yes.
If you get like bored halfway through, feel free to interject and tell me bored and you've had enough.
Let me do this. Let me ask, does anybody have any questions?
Oh, yes.
Really quickly. Tom, you're here. Do you have any questions? There's a little bit of delay. And while there is a delay, I put your website in. So I'll put this.
I like Tom says, we're not all tea drinking gardeners.
Yes.
I wasn't reading the comments as we went along. That's
right. My comments aren't scrolling up the way they should on the website. They do on my phone, but they don't on my website. I don't know why.
There's my website. Thank you.
Yeah. And here's the paste.
Tom doesn't have any questions for us.
No questions? Ha ha. No. Put me on the spot. I don't have any questions, but it has been lovely. When are you going to start a podcast? Tom would be good. He's got such a great reading voice too. Okay.
I've heard his voice on bits and I think he's done some little reading bits on Twitter where he's read little bits out, and I've listened to those and they are very good.
I don't think I ever posted.
Have you not?
No, Tom and I did this thing called, I don't know, I never named it, it's the spanking. But
Oh gosh, I didn't know you two are Dennis Banking. So, okay.
Oh yeah, Tom's Oh. We never oh. named it, and it's really good. It's very emotional and very intense.
Gosh.
And
I need to listen to that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever posted it on the podcast. I'm a little bit
behind. Oh,
it's epic spanking poetry.
Very good.
It sounds so funny to say, but it is. It's really heavily emotional, and it's
poetry.
It's poetry.
Gosh. Oh, well, you'll have to share that somewhere so we can all enjoy.
Yeah, it's long is the problem. Oh. I've got to pop it. You know what? I should just pop it in on YouTube. Or actually, Tom could pop it in on, I'll pop it in on YouTube and then share it out. But I'm sorry. I'm so distracted. Would you be?
Shall I read?
Yes, please read.
Okay.
I know this sexy is coming and it makes me nervous. I'm still.
It doesn't have a sexy title, though, not at all.
No. Okay, what's the title?
The title is I Can't Bear Lattes.
Oh.
See?
I can't bear lattes.
I can't bear lattes. Not sexy at all. Okay, I'll read. Okay, so I won Barista of the Week again. Honestly, I know I can make great coffee, but I need some more excitement in my life. I sneak another peek at the advert in my handbag. Special assistant required. Must make fantastic coffee and be very sexually liberated. Interested applicants should email to discuss their suitability for the role. I can't quite believe I replied. I definitely can't believe I'm going for an interview tomorrow. Yet, at 9 the next morning, I find myself buzzing the door of the stylish offices in central London. His secretary greets me knowingly and shows me through to Mr. Hartman's office. I must admit, Mr. Hartman is a very attractive man. He welcomes me into his office and shakes my hand firmly. I feel his eyes rove over me. I'm pleased with my outfit choice. The fitted pencil skirt accentuates my curves, and the white shirt looks businesslike, but with just a hint of cleavage. I sit down, crossing one stocking-clad leg over the other, hoping I look suitably seductive. As you know, my job advert focused on two key attributes, Mr. Hartman begins. I nod and try to ignore the butterflies in my stomach. The first of which is the ability to make fantastic coffee. I nod again and feel a moment of relief that the conversation is starting with coffee. I begin to elaborate, telling Mr. Hartman about my coffee shop experience and the Barista of the Week awards. He stares at me intently as I talk and then nods thoughtfully as I finish. You can demonstrate those skills shortly, he continues. And now for the other required attributes for the role. I feel a wave of nervous anticipation roll through me, but also a soft ache beginning between my thighs. My job requires me to work hard and efficiently, but I also have a powerful sex drive and need regular stimulation and release. Do you think you'll be happy assisting with this? I squirm in my seat at the directness of his question. I believe so, I reply. Then you can demonstrate those skills shortly. I know we discussed safe words and your limits by email, and those will be fully respected at all times. I adjust my position slightly and can feel my knickers becoming sticky and clinging to my sex. There is one other requirement. I look at him intently. I like a special assistant who can read my mind. I don't want to have to ask for either of my two favourite pleasures, coffee or sex. My gaze becomes more quizzical as I wonder how exactly he expects me to read his mind. He laughs gently at my perplexed expression and opens the drawer to his desk. Your hand, he requests. I stretch my arm across the desk and open my palm. He drops a small metal figurine into my hand and closes my fingers around it. This magic talisman will allow you to read my mind, he whispers, so you will know my every desire. I giggle as I look back at him. Give it a moment, he says. Let it start to work its magic. I grip it tightly in my hand. I feel my natural skepticism to kick in. You have to believe that it works, he encourages. I want to laugh, but I stop myself. I try to imagine that it could work. And then I realise I do know what he wants. I get up from my chair and make my way to the coffee machine in the corner of his office. I hesitate, wondering what style of coffee he favours. I grip the talisman more tightly and know he wants a latte. I make it with the utmost care and attention before presenting it to him. He sips at it slowly and then looks at me. Exactly as I like it, and a delicious cup of coffee. Well done. I smile proudly and hold his gaze. So, do you know what else I want? He asks rakishly. I take a deep breath. I know exactly what he wants. My fingers move shakily to the buttons of my shirt, and I undo them one by one, letting the material fall away from my body. I reach round and unclip my bra, dispensing with that as well. Teasingly, I keep my hands over my full breasts and step in front of him. He raises one eyebrow at me. I let my hands fall away. You do have fabulous breasts, he sighs appreciatively, before cupping them in his hands. His fingers massage my sensitive flesh, and then he brings his mouth to my nipples and starts to suck on them in turn. A decadent whimper escapes me at the delicious sensations he's causing. He sucks harder, and tiny throngs of pain intertwine with the pleasure. My hips buck towards him. He pauses. Already so wanton, he asks playfully. Do you know what happens to wanton young ladies? Do wanton young ladies get punished? I ask provocatively. You read my mind, he grins. Assume the position. I know what he wants. I pull up my skirt and reveal my thong and barely concealed bottom. I bend over the desk. He runs his hands over the thin fabric. I know he can see just how wet my knickers are. A very wanton young lady indeed. A firm spank lands on my left cheek, making me cry out with shock. He rubs it gently, reassuringly, yet stimulating my needy flesh further, before delivering the second spank. A third and fourth quickly follow, and my cries become wilder. Pull down your knickers, he commands. I reach behind and obey. He pushes my legs open a little wider. I need to inspect just how wet you are for me, he says, bringing his face closer to my pussy. The humiliation of his words, mixed with the incredible intimacy of his actions, just flames my arousal. His fingers part my pussy lips and he caresses my sex. He starts to draw tight little circles around my clit. I moan hungrily. What do I want to hear you say? He asks. I don't even need to pause. I know. Please, Mr. Hartman, I want your cock inside me. Good girl, he breathes. I hear him pull on a condom and then the head of his cock is against my opening. I can feel just how big he is as he pushes against me, stretching me as he starts to enter. I cry out as each delicious thick inch slides into me. I can read his mind. I know what he wants. I push back onto him, letting him impale me completely. He places a hand on my back, pinning me in place on his desk, and he thrusts harder and faster into me. Everything about the scene feels so incredibly naughty and intensely erotic. Every buck of his hips drives me closer to my impending climax. I breathe out slowly in a low moan, trying to control my body, wanting to wait for him. I hear his groans becoming more animalistic, his thrusts more frantic, and I know he is there. I let myself go, and the most exquisite orgasm rips through me. My back arches against his hand, my hips rise to meet him, and I clench tight around his throbbing cock as he empties himself into me. We lay there, panting, luxuriating in the pleasure of what just happened, enjoying the feel of our bodies against one another. Eventually, he kisses the back of my head and slides his body away from mine. He cleans up and I watch as I finish dressing. Well, I think you definitely excelled in this interview, he smirks. Would I be right in assuming you'll be accepting the role? Oh, yes, please. Very good. I need you in promptly at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I have three important executives in for a meeting, and we need to keep them completely satisfied. I assume you know what I want you to do. My mind whirls for a moment, and I reach into my pocket to clasp the talisman. I feel a surge of confidence as I realise exactly what he wants. Four delicious coffees, and then me under the table in your office, using my warm, enthusiastic mouth to pleasure yourself and your guests. I proffer coquettishly. Absolutely right, he exclaims. I turn to leave his office. One last thing, he calls. I can't bear lattes. I only ever drink an Americano with a dash of hot milk. But I knew from the talisman, I begin. No powers whatsoever, he chortles. But thinking everything was my idea, let you be very naughty indeed. See you in the morning and keep up the good work. The end.
Oh my. I love the twist. Oh. I thought that talisman, is that working? Is that what was happening there? Oh no.
Yes. It's not working at all.
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. I knew. Yeah, see, this is why I was getting sliver something. I don't know. There's a word for it. Kerplamped. Yeah, see, I don't something.
I feel like I've made you lose your words.
I haven't done one of these kind of podcasts for a while. And so I've not had the audio stimulation. That was very well read. Thank you. I am quite Tom. Is Tom still alive?
Yeah. He is.
He's in there somewhere. He was wearing gray joggers, which I assume are like gray sweatpants. They're a thing here.
He says, yes, I'm here. He is still paying attention.
Are you still alive? Okay, good. Well, I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you have your day to get to and I have mine, but I really appreciate you coming on and reading and oh my goodness. And yes.
Thank you.
Could you do me a favor and tag me when you're, if you remember, maybe you won't, but
I will.
Because I really want to read it, but I'll also share it out when the piece comes out. I imagine it's going to be a lot of fun. And I actually uninstalled Twitter, but I put it back in my phone for a while. I'm going to do some podcasts. I'm going to be good and show some self-restraint and not use it as an excuse not to write. So.
Well, yes, I will definitely share that with you as and when I finally get it finished, but I'm mostly there. So it will be soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You have a fantastic day.
I will. Well, evening. It's almost evening.
Oh,
here.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's 10 a.m. here. So, okay.
Will you go and work hard?
I am. I got stuff to do today. It's a day. I'll talk to you soon. And tag me. And I will put all the websites and all the connections in the box. If you want to go to Katie's website, there will be a link when I repost this. I'll probably get it done tonight. I'm going to do it because if I don't get it done, I won't get it done. So, So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Tom, for joining and everybody else. And have a great day. Bye,
wonderful.
Katie.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
What am I doing? I'm putting some music on.
Oh.
And there we go. There's some music. Thank you guys for joining me. I am ending the podcast now. So thank you for coming in. If you want to listen to the replay, it will be up on Podbean and iTunes and Spotify and all the places. It's not on Amazon because I'm afraid to get banned. But, you know, it's around. This was a special show highlighting the winner of the bloggable, well, not the winner, the finalist. Runner-up of the Bloggable Fiction Writing Contest. I'm so honored to have Katie back, and I'm honored that you guys joined me to listen. Have a great day! And go write something kinky.